Hello there.
You all right? Hello.
Right. Big news.
Yeah.
I can't wait to share this.
As you can hear, we are planning on doing a UFC 223 breakdown. It's going up and down. We're trying to get the news as fast as we can. And here, rundown on the weekly news in MMA and...
I just found the new news I haven't told you about, but I will talk about in a bit.
And hopefully we're going to give you a rundown of the rest of the card that actually is happening. I have just seen it. That at the minute, the main event for UFC 223, Khabib Nurmagomedov, Pettis was allowed, Anthony Pettis stepped in.
Said no.
6 hours. To get to 155. He weighed in after 4 hours, 155.2. He was given an additional 2 hours to lose the 2 ounces. He asked the UFC for a bigger paycheck. The UFC said no and countered that offer with less money. There's been a lot going on with the whole thing. It's now uncertain if Khabib's position on the card is actually set and if he's actually going to fight on there. There was three people that offered to step in straight off the bat. Obviously, Anthony Pettis, Ally Aquinta, and Paul Felder. Paul Felder was told he's not ranked. Ally Aquinta wasn't even questioned about it. And obviously, Pettis stepped up being a former champion.
Just bring a bear and Khabib will fight that.
Well, I did say they should put an injured Tony Ferguson, an injured Max Holloway, and Conor McGregor all in there to make it a little bit harder for Khabib.
just put Conor in there. Give him
well,
big.
Well, I have actually just seen it that McGregor has his charges. I seen it earlier that his charges have been done. He's now been posted bail. He is allowed to leave the courthouse that he's at. On his own terms, it's still unsure whether he's allowed to leave the country or not. And another court date will be done, and it will get done quicker than normal because of obviously the circumstances and in case he wants to leave the country to go back to Ireland.
But, UFC 223. Thanks, Connor.
Yeah, but in,
prick.
In 6 days, it's been fucking mental. Like from one fighter pulling out to another one stepping up.
Can I start with the small news?
Yeah, go on then.
This is unrelated to UFC 223, but we're going to talk about Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, who has been confirmed by Dana White that he is coming back to the UFC. When is a different matter.
Probably next year.
But and it'll probably be this year because his contract runs out with the WWE on Sunday after WrestleMania. That's what Dana White has confirmed, that his contract finishes as soon as WrestleMania finishes.
Yeah, but I'm saying his next fight won't be probably till next year. Or hell, if we're lucky, the summer.
Well, with his steroid suspension from the Athletic Commission in America, he actually finished his suspension 8 months ago, 9 months ago.
Yeah.
And to be put back on the roster, you have to go into a 6-month testing pool.
Wait, didn't he get a 2-year suspension or a 1-year suspension?
Two, which is now finished. But then... No, was it 2 years? It must have been a year.
Hang on.
He's gone into... they have to go into a 6-month testing pool before they could go back onto the rankings and stuff. I'm not sure if it's a year and a half that he's served of his suspension, but within that 6 months you can go back into the testing pool and go back on to what is mainly the Nevada State Athletic Commission, the Doping Association, USADA, sorry, United States.
1 year.
Yeah. So he's in that testing pool now. He's done his 6 months, so he can now go back on the roster. So his and he can't sign another contract until his current contract finishes.
Mm-hmm.
So he's currently in the testing pool, so it might be 1 or 2 months till he's ready to go.
Nice.
Obviously, if he's off the roids or off anything else.
He won't be. He is the new John Jones.
Mark Hunt is, I think Mark Hunt wants revenge.
Blame him.
I've seen it somewhere that he's looking to take his career elsewhere, which is really, really stupid of the UFC if they let him go. But yeah, I think his contract's finished, so it could be that he goes elsewhere to finish his career. But yeah, that was big news at the start of the week that Brock Lesnar is coming back. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday morning I seen it, that Dana confirmed that Brock is back.
So that
But
was crazy. That was good. So that's some good news. And then we get to the shit now.
yeah, so back to what we've seen. I mean, I had a half day at work yesterday, and I come back and social media had gone absolutely bonkers. And I come back in, I'd missed it by a couple of hours. And so I got in and straight on social media, and I was like, holy shit, the hell? And then all the videos started coming out. By the time I'd got in and got myself settled, all the videos and stuff started coming out, and I seen it. Obviously, if you've been living under a rock for the past t 12 hours or don't have a smartphone or any social media, you
Oh,
won't
you
know
have
what's
no access to
happened.
internet, or you
Yeah.
have no friends.
Conor McGregor has attacked the UFC bus, the UFC fighters bus. Three of his guys were at the media day in connections with McGregor Promotions.
Right, hold on. Hold on. So, I'm just looking. So, a featherweight bout was supposed to happen between Alex Caceres and Artem Lobov.
Yep. Who is a teammate and really good friend of Conor McGregor.
And it was supposed to take place at the event. 4 days before the event, an altercation bef was recorded between Lobov and event headliner Khabib Nurmagomedov. 2 days later, on the day prior to weigh-ins, former lightweight champion Conor McGregor and his team unexpectedly appeared at the UFC press conference venue after the press event had concluded and threw multiple objects at a tour bus. Oh dear.
So yeah, this all started. Whilst I was at home when I got finished work, I'd seen the videos and stuff for the altercations between Artem Lobov and Khabib Nurmagomedov. And to be fair, not defending what Conor McGregor's done in the slightest. I've tweeted about this earlier. I'm not defending him at all. But this is all because of Khabib and his team. Khabib and his team have caused this. Between 10 and 15 guys. He obviously they have a fighters hotel. They'd got a hotel, so all the fighters, corner men, fighters, and just corner men basically. So you three guys you have in your corner stay at the one hotel. So they keep all fighters there. It's heavily secured, guards, everything. No one's allowed in or out unless you've got a team pass. Between 10 and 15 guys of cornered Artem Lobov and Khabib Nurmagomedov. But this started from an interview Artem Lobov did on Sunday or Monday in Russian. He'd done it on a Russian TV channel. They'd done a video link interview with him. And the translation for it only come out Thursday night, Friday morning. But obviously, Khabib being Russian, he knew what he said. Basically, it turned around. Artem Lobov had said, Khabib's got no business in trying to fight Conor McGregor. He shouldn't be trying to get the Conor McGregor fight. He shouldn't be calling him a chicken or anything like that because Khabib has pulled out of six fights. If he's slightly overweight or he's not feeling his weight cut, he pulls out of a fight. If he's got a slight injury, he pulls out of a fight. So he's a pussy bitch for pulling out of these fights. And Conor McGregor's not the number one chicken. Khabib Nurmagomedov is the number one chicken. What else do you want me to say?
That was above's words, not
Yeah,
ours.
and that was Artem Lobov's words in the translation of the interview that he did. Well, Khabib heard this from multiple sources. I think Ariel Helwani had him on the MMA Hour on Wednesday, Tuesday or Wednesday. So after this, Artem Lobov video or interview was posted wherever, it has got to Ariel Helwani, and he's got it, people have got it translated, and then he spoke to Khabib Nurmagomedov about it. So then they've gone back to the hotel, and obviously Khabib is Russian, so he knew exactly what he'd said in this interview, and cornered Artem Lobov. He put his hand around his neck like he was Bane out of Batman, and said to him, "You called me a bitch. Say it to my face." And Artem said, "No, I didn't." He said, "You called me a bitch on fucking TV. Say it to my face now." And Artem Lobov swore blind in Khabib's face. He did not call him a bitch. Yeah, it's on all Russian TV and the internet. And it's been translated many times, and everyone's got the same outcome of Artem Lobov calling Khabib Nurmagomedov a bitch and a pussy, saying he's the number one pussy chicken. So Khabib wanted to defend himself, and their conversation that they had in the lobby, there was between 10 and 15 guys of Khabib's men. Artem Lobov was on his own. And this is what it's all come from, because Artem Lobov is a longtime friend and longtime training partner of Conor McGregor. So as they were leaving, Khabib Nurmagomedov turned around to Artem Lobov and said, "Don't ever put my name in your mouth ever again, or there's going to be war." And obviously, him being friends with Conor McGregor, he and everyone wanting Conor McGregor to fight Khabib, because they want to see the two best guys in the division fighting out, and they want Conor to actually defend the title. It provoked this. So instead of Artem Lobov doing the sensible thing and go to Dana White, I know he didn't want to look like a bitch and be telling us what you do in school, but you're a professional sportsman. These are all professional sportsmen. They have kids at these events looking up to these people, yeah? So what he should have done was gone to Dana White and said, "Look, 15 of his guys and him have just surrounded me in the corner of a lobby or in a corridor of a hotel or whatever it was. And he slapped me, and he's threatened me, and they've intimidated me and bullied me." Khabib would have got a fine and a slap on the wrist. He'd have paid the 30 grand fine to fucking slap him. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about money. He cares about his 25-0 record. He cares about retiring from being undefeated and the best ever and beating everyone. So he would have cared about the fine, and that's all that would have happened. Because it wasn't as if it was like a proper full-on bitch slap. He sort of tapped him round the back of the neck, round the back of the head. So after they'd had that altercation and stuff like that, that all came out on social media. It all blew up and stuff like that. We waited about 16, 17 hours for the translation to come through. So Artem Lobov has obviously told the guys that were there, because McGregor had people there supporting Artem Lobov with McGregor Promotions, because they were part of his team, and obviously he's a teammate. Dana White had confirmed it that McGregor wasn't going to be there in attendance at UFC 223. So his team were there. Not sure, I haven't seen anything anywhere if John Kavanagh was there, obviously with Conor McGregor's head coach. But it's a possibility he could have been in attendance, which to he would have been there with with Artem Lobov at some point. So the guys that McGregor had there were corner men from his gym that were there with Artem Lobov. So straight away they've got on the phone. They've told Conor McGregor, "This has happened, that's happened, blah de blah de blah." And Conor McGregor, see, this is the bit that gets me. It's been blown out of proportion that Conor McGregor loaded a plane up, his own private jet, or a private jet, with 30 fighters and 30 guys that were there to bully and intimidate them. One of the guys, he could barely see his own toes, he's that fat. And there's about six of them. There's about six of them that look about 18. And one of them looks like a 17. One of them is a 17-year-old girl. Well, I don't actually know if she's 17, but she looks about 17. She looks like she's just finished school. That have gone through, because I've seen the footage of them going through the lobby, down the thing, and they're all kids. He's probably got two people of his age, and the rest of them are kids and a fat guy. I mean, so they've all jumped on a plane. The number's inaccurate. Dana White done a press conference, and in the space of 2 or 3 minutes, he changed his number from 30 guys being discussed into 20 guys, then to 15 guys, then it went back up to 30. But they've all jumped on a plane, flown straight from Dublin to New York. I actually think that they were trying to get there before the press conference finished to confront Habib and his team, because you wouldn't take your whole team there to initially go and trash a bus. Yeah. And I tweeted about this as well. If this happened in any other sport, if you were playing football or soccer or ice hockey or basketball, or anything that's a team sport or even an individual sport, if your athlete that you're with that is part of your team, whether it be your training team or anything like that, is slapped by someone that you're is your opponent, you're gonna go and defend your team. Yeah, you're gonna stop them.
Yeah.
If it happens on a football pitch, your teammates are there to defend you. Whether they're gonna get involved and start throwing punches and shit or kicking people and stuff is different. But if they're there to split it up, they're there to support you. And that's what Conor McGregor wanted. He wanted to go support his friend and stuff like that. It's not sure, like I don't think he was on drugs or anything like that. The New York Police Department haven't released that he was on drugs or anything like that. And I think that'd have been one of the first things that was said if he was. But
I actually said to you on Facebook, I
yeah,
thought.
but yeah, the New York Police Department haven't actually said if he was or anything like that, so nothing's been confirmed that he is or anything like that.
No, but do you know what's funny? They have reported they actually showed his arrest, the record,
Yeah.
and he's actually on wait with Habib, so they could have a fight at 2-2-3.
Yeah, but supposedly, whilst he was in police custody and stuff like that, he's got a lot of friends that are that work at the New York Police Department, and he was one of them. Was spoke to Ariel Helwani and reported to him that they were shadow boxing in the jail whilst they were waiting for him to get his sentence or whatever to see what was happening. So, in Conor McGregor's eyes, he's got away with it. This don't mean shit to him. He's thrown a trolley through a window, and he's got away with it because he's got policemen that are trying to charge him with a federal crime, shadow boxing.
I'm reading more of the bus incident. The group included two of McGregor's teammates,
Yeah, Artem
Lobov,
Lobov and Alex Casillas.
former UFC welterweight Charlie Ward.
Yeah, one of them's been charged, and so has Alex Caceres.
Oh dear. The bus had all red corner fighters for UFC 223. This included Rose Namajunas, Al Quinta, Carolina, I'm sorry if I pronounce this wrong. Kowalik Kiewicz?
Yeah,
I can't say it.
something like that.
Ray Borg and Michael Chiesa, as well as Nurmagomedov and his manager.
Yes. His
McGregor ran
manager
up.
actually tried to get off the bus.
Would you?
Yeah, Nurmagomedov's manager had to have four people stop him getting off that bus. In some of the footage you can see, that you can, yeah, some of the footage that's out there, you can hear someone saying, "I'm gonna fucking kill you, I'm gonna fucking kill you," in a Russian accent. People thought it was Khabib. It's not. It's now come out that it was Khabib's manager, and he tried to get off the bus, and Khabib stopped him getting off the bus.
This is heated. McGregor ran up alongside the slowly moving bus and then ran past it to grab a metal equipment dolly, which he then threw into the first window. Lobov was removed from the card a result of this participation. I hate saying that. I'm saying that wrong.
Participation.
Yeah, participate. Fuck's sake. Anyway, McGregor surrendered to the NYPD later that evening.
Yeah, he had his passport tagged, so he couldn't have left the country anyway. It was stated that that he can't leave the country, basically. So is the New York State, the New York Police Department actually capped his passport anyway, so he couldn't have left no matter what. But yeah, Michael Chiesa was sat front row. He was the front seat of the bus, and Ray Borg was sat next to him. And this is it gets even more crazy, ludicrous, and really interesting with the Ray Borg story. Ray Borg tweeted, as it happened. Rayborg actually tweeted that he was fine. And when people on social media started saying, oh, well, Michael Chiesa is all right because he could end up suing Conor McGregor for about 500 grand. Rayborg deleted the tweet and took himself to hospital.
Huh.
And has since not tweeted about it. And as now reports come out saying that he was wearing sunglasses. The initial report was Rayborg was wearing sunglasses whilst he was sat next to Michael Chiesa. And there was a few fighters that actually confirmed that Rayborg was wearing sunglasses. But then obviously when he deleted his tweet and stuff like that, it had come out that he had shards of glass in his eye. And one of them is actually cut. I think it's his left eye. His actual eyeball is cut. He's got a laceration to his eye.
Oh, no. Anyway, a flyweight bout between former UFC flyweight championship challenger Rayborg and Brandon Moreno was expected to take place 7 weeks earlier at UFC Fight Night Cowboy versus Medeiros. However, due to a minor injury sustained by Moreno, the pairing was delayed and rescheduled to take place at this event. However, Borg pulled out of the fight due to an eye injury caused by the bus attack and bout was cancelled. Borg had trouble opening his eyes due to shards of glass from the broken window. And a lightweight bout between Michael Chiesa and former UFC lightweight champion Anthony Pettis, was scheduled to take place. However, shattered glass from the Conor McGregor incident caused multiple cuts to Chiesa's face, sent him into a hospital, and resulted in the bout being cancelled.
And on that, with Michael Chiesa actually went to the hospital and carried on making weight. They done whatever to his face. Sorted him out, kept him there to make sure he was okay, and he carried on making weight whilst he was in the hospital. He had his face all patched up. He wanted to make weight. He wanted to carry on himself. Obviously, they sent UFC sources straight away there, but UFC medics and someone from the state. And it was the New York State Athletic Commission that initially stopped him from fighting. They turned around and said no. So Michael Chiesa was, I believe, a pound and a half away from making weight. Obviously, the weigh-ins were today. With a time difference, it was at 9 o'clock. And then the show weigh-ins that they do is a couple of hours later. But yeah, he was on course for making weight and carried on trying to make weight with a bust up face, but it was the commission and the UFC who pulled him from the fight.
Bit of a crazy,
which is a real shame because I like that both them guys. Obviously, Anthony Pettis is called Showtime for a reason. The kick heard around the world against Benson Henderson. And he's a good fighter. Obviously, he's a former champion.
Yeah.
I was just speaking to someone on Twitter about this. It's crazy how he's gone from such a fall from grace, so to speak. He was the champion. He lost his title. I think he went on a 2-fight losing streak. Got a couple more wins back. And then lost again and sort of dropped down the rankings. And he went to 8 or 9, I think it was. And then he's not been in title contention since. And then yet we've got to this morning, to a couple of hours ago, and he's potentially fighting for a title to regain his title. But it's all up in the air with contracts and stuff like that because Khabib wants the title. He wants to fight for the title. He believes he's the right guy for the title and deserves the title. I mean, I'm not going to argue with him. So it's one of them things. If, I mean, when we planned to do this podcast about this, we had so much more to talk about. See, Tony Ferguson, the fight with Khabib, was a good match.
Got cancelled. Is it actually?
Stylistically,
this fight was actually planned years ago because it was supposed to be.
It's happened. I think it's fell through 3 or 4 times.
Yeah. The lightweight championship bout between interim champion and the Ultimate Fighter Team Lesnar versus Team Dos Santos, when Tony Ferguson and Khabib Nurmagomedov was originally expected to headline this event. Yeah, but it's been like, you know,
One of them was because Khabib
cancelled.
couldn't make weight.
Yeah, it's been cancelled for various reasons on three separate occasions over the last 3 years.
But stylistically, Tony Ferguson's a weird kind of guy. Great athlete, great fighter. I just don't think he tries to talk the talk. He's trying to follow suit, yeah? Whereas Khabib's the kind of guy who's straight down the middle. I mean, he says it how it is. And like his
Yeah,
last fight with Michael Johnson, he was giving the guy ground and pound, telling him to quit because he didn't want to carry on hitting him.
I remember watching Ultimate Fighter, and I remember watching Tony Ferguson in it, and Les and Lesnar, Brock Lesnar was really impressive with Ferguson, so.
See, as a fighter, I'm impressed, but if he shut his mouth, it'd make him 20 times better
Oh
because
yeah.
he's trying to talk
Talk, talk.
smack and he really just can't. It shouldn't be his style, but he's so unorthodox, like with his techniques and stuff like that, and with his training things. I mean, they released a few of his training things on the UFC program before he got injured, and the way he got injured was crazy. He was actually doing a media day with the UFC at the Fox Studios, and he went to walk up a couple of stairs and seen someone that he hadn't seen for a while. So he changed his direction to go and shake his hand and damaged his knee. It's just crazy. Like, he limped to the stage, done some of his media, and went and got assessed afterwards, and he possibly might need surgery. I don't know how fast he turned or what he was doing. He would try and jump on someone, but to damage yourself after one step, it's crazy things have happened. But yeah,
I was doing
stylistically.
a few weeks ago. I was doing wrestling training. And I landed incorrectly. I tweaked my knee. I couldn't, and it took me about like a week or two
Yeah.
to the training.
But yeah, so that's how Tony Ferguson got injured, but I watched some of his training that the UFC released. I'm not sure if it was on Embodied or what, but he puts a bit of foam around steel poles. I know it's good, obviously. Thai boxers do it with sugar canes to take the nerve endings away from their shins and to make their shin bones stronger. So when they kick someone and it's countered and it's shin on shin, they don't feel it as much. He was throwing elbows on these posts. He was throwing knees. He was throwing leg kicks. He was throwing normal kicks where his feet were hitting them and didn't manage to injure himself. And then he was stepped up one step and went to get off of it and injured himself. It's
Dear.
crazy. And then Max Holloway stepped up. We'll go on to this one. So Max Holloway stepped up at 6 days' notice. This is where the start of the week got even crazier because a month ago, Max Holloway pulled out of his own fight due to an ankle injury. It was then released after he'd pulled out of that fight that he's got another appointment with his doctor at the end of April or the beginning of May to discuss whether he needs surgery on his ankle. So he pulls out from his fight a month before. I mean, I've had a few people on social media say, "Oh, do you think he did this because he knew Tony Ferguson or Khabib would have pulled out, obviously with the amount of times it's been scheduled?" Do you think made up the excuse that he was injured because he wanted the 155 title as well, because he wants a shot at Conor McGregor? Or was he genuinely injured? But then if he was genuinely injured, why is he taking a fight on 6 days' notice? If he's meant to have
Exactly.
surgery, if he's supposedly meant to have surgery on his ankle, why is he accepting a fight on 6 days' notice?
Exactly.
But then, supposedly, he said he was on weight and he was ready. And then it's been today, or yesterday, sorry, that he can't make weight. Well, he was making weight, sorry. He was on the right tracks to making weight. He never had much left to take, but the UFC pulled him from it because
Was
he was unhealthy. Oh, sorry, it was today. He was.
it this morning? Was it this morning or yesterday morning that you messaged me about Habib's fight maybe cancelled or not?
No, it was this afternoon. So yeah,
Yeah, I thought so.
wasn't too long ago. It was about 5 hours ago, maybe even earlier than that. And that yeah, he put out a press release saying or on Instagram or Twitter or something like that, and he'd tagged Habib in it, and said sorry for this or this that and the other. He said I was on weight, I feel healthy, I feel really good. He was full of life, everything like that. But it was the UFC and their sanctions that stopped him. And the medics, they've told him he's not fit enough to do it. It's not healthy enough for him to make weight. Which is crazy. It's the whole thing is completely up in the air with why is he taking a fight on 6 days' notice if he was injured for his own, and all that, and then not actually being ready anyway.
Damn it.
It's crazy. To be fair, but so yeah, that was Max Holloway and what happened with him. So then you get on to the next person that was thrown into the equation, Showtime Pettis, who was obviously scheduled to fight Michael Chiesa. And obviously Michael Chiesa couldn't fight because of the injury sustained by the notorious.
Mr. McGregor.
Yeah. So he said, "Oh, I'll fight. I'll step up. I'll fight. I'll do it." And they gave him 6 hours to make weight. He got down to 155.2 in 4 hours, and then he was given an extra 2 hours to cut 2 ounces. I've just read it before we started this that the presser and everything. And the weigh-ins and stuff like that were finished, and a UFC official started taking the scales away, and someone from the PR team told them to wait because they're on standby. So they took the scales backstage, back into a room for obviously to make sure that they were all correct or do whatever they do with them. And so from there, obviously Pettis was still trying to make weight. Was told that he's not being given any more time to make weight, even though he only had 2 ounces to make. I'm pretty sure if they'd have told Khabib Nurmagomedov that he's 2 ounces overweight, he'd have still taken the fight and taken a cut off his purse, and he'd have still fought for the title. I still don't think the outcome would have been any different. I still think Khabib would have won it.
Yeah.
And Pettis. I think it's two ways. He got a little greedy, but in the other sense, he didn't because he's taking the fight. Well, his fight got cancelled, so he's still getting his show money. He could have sailed off into the sunset with his show money and his Reebok money for fighting, well, for not fighting Michael Chiesa.
Huh.
So he could have, if he really wanted to fight, he could have taken the fight with Khabib on the same money he was getting for the Michael Chiesa fight. Obviously, he'd have made a shitload more money if he'd have actually beat Khabib, and won the title. If it was still going to be classed as a title fight, if the New York State had have still said, "Yeah, we're going to go forward with this as a title fight," he'd have easily made that money back. But that's the difference between fighters, I think. Obviously, Pettis wanted more money. And now Khabib doesn't care about the money. He wants the undefeated and he wants the title because he wants to fight Conor McGregor. He wants to fight everyone. So if he gets the choice and he's the champion, everyone has to come to him. Everyone has to fight him because everyone in the division wants to be the champion. So they have to come to him, basically. So he can sit there with a belt and wait for these opponents to come and get him, which is what he wants. So he didn't care about the money, but then now I've seen that it's the negotiations between his team, between Khabib Nurmagomedov's team, because obviously Anthony Pettis asked for more money and stuff like that. And now, with all that going on, they've delayed it even more. I think they're trying to delay it to make sure Pettis can make the weight to give him that extra time so they can actually have a fight. I mean, a 12-week training camp for a waste. That's something that's happened, and your opponent's changed three times in 6 days. It's crazy. It's ridiculous. But now, supposedly, his team are in talks of trying to jeopardize it altogether. So it's not 100% certain if Khabib Nurmagomedov is actually going to fight or not tomorrow, which is...
We'll see tomorrow.
Yeah, which is a big shame, really, because, again, New York, we're getting a good card, a really good card. And some people's stupidity has cost the whole card, basically, apart from, obviously, what we'll get onto next of the women's title fight.
Poor Rose.
Defending champion Rose Namajunas and the challenger Joanna Janjacek.
Jesus, you can actually pronounce that?
What, Joanna Janjacek? Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And from the Conor McGregor situation.
Don't even think Michael Buffer can even pronounce that. Fucking hell.
Bruce.
Shut up.
But yeah.
My brain's dead.
Namajunas was on the bus. She's in the Red Corner Team bus. And she was shook up. And this title fight was almost being cancelled as well because Rose was so shook up. I mean, the first thing that came out of it in the press release, he'd done it. It looked like he'd done it in the janitor's office of this room. And he said the first place he was going after he finished this interview wasn't to the police station or anything like that. excuse me. Or to go to the hospital to see if Michael Chiesa is all right. He was going to find out if Rose Namajunas was okay. It was reported that they got a couple of miles away from the hotel and she was shook up, so she asked her coaching staff to get off the bus and let her walk back to the hotel. So they did. She walked a little way from wherever the bus was back to a hotel so she could try and clear her head and stuff because she was shook up, supposedly. So this fight was close to being called off too.
Jesus. Anyway, we've now got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, potentially 10 fights.
Yeah, maybe 10 fights. There was scheduled for 13. 13 fights scheduled. And 3 have definitely been cancelled.
4 is a huge eh.
But yeah, this title fight between Rose Namajunas and Joanna Jędrzejczyk, this is going to be fireworks. I don't think it's going to go the way it went. Not the way the result went. I think the rounds are going to go different this time. Joanna Jędrzejczyk thought she was unbeatable. This is another... I know you probably won't like me saying this, but this is another classic Ronda Rousey, UFC media Dana White problem that the UFC have got. They find this big star and they make them believe they are unbeatable. They've done it with Ronda Rousey. They've done it with Conor McGregor. They've done it with Joanna Jędrzejczyk. I think they're going to do it with Amanda Nunes, and they're doing it with Chris Cyborg Santos. They need to basically get out their ass for a while. Joanna Jędrzejczyk, a great fighter and stuff like that, but in my eyes, she's not as convincing as what everyone was making out. She fought Valentina Shevchenko, and she went 5 rounds with Valentina Shevchenko. She didn't look really convincing in there. She was almost beat by her. She was almost beat by that Karolina, the one that's fighting tonight, the other Polish fighter. I can't pronounce her name.
Sorry.
Yeah, she was almost beat by her. She was rocked a few times. She's been dropped. She was dropped by Karolina, which everyone's like, oh my God, it's a shock. But it's not. These people in there, yeah, there's different levels of athlete. But don't get me wrong, I like Joanna Jędrzejczyk. But for people to think that she was unbeatable, I think this is why Rose Namajunas won this fight. Because Rosnami Yunus was mid-level division. Yeah. And the UFC, Dana White and everyone. I mean, even Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan talks the most sense of anyone. He put it out that Joanna Jędrzejczyk was head and shoulders above everyone else. He sort of started it that Joanna Jędrzejczyk is unbeatable. Which, to be fair, most people thought, yeah, she was, because they'd just seen her win column. And the fights that she had, yeah, they're absolute wars that she's been having, yeah. But to be head and shoulders above everyone else, you've got to be going in and making statements. Yeah, I know you've got to be versatile, whether you can submit people, you can knock people out, you can go five rounds if you need to go five rounds, which she has done a few times. But I think this is what Rosnami Yunus has sat home and thought, you know what? All these lot are talking so much shit about this woman, like, that they can't beat her, and they're talking so much shit about this division. They think this woman's unbeatable, and something's just triggered her brain, and she's got herself that little bit more self-belief. I mean, the UFC started doing it with Paige VanZant, and then Rose choked her out. No one's seen that coming. No one's seen Rosnami Yunus choking out Paige VanZant. But she did. And she's gone on an absolute tear since then. And then when she knocked out Joanna Jędrzejczyk, everyone thought, oh my God, well, what a shock this is. Well, not really. If she's in the cage with her, it's a 50-50 chance. Unless, not and against Paul Felder or anything like that, obviously he's not a ranked fighter or not ranked high enough to fight Khabib. So he's not in the top 15 or the top 10, yeah? If he goes in there and gets submitted by Khabib in one round, what does that say? Or what happens if he goes in there and knocks Khabib and Nurmagomedov out or submits him? The fuck happens then?
Exactly.
But then they're saying, but like, this is what I'm saying, it's like a Ronda Rousey basis, yeah? The UFC, Dana White must have fucking been so far up her ass, he must have been talking for her. They made her sound as unbeatable. She was the face of the UFC. She was the face of women's fighting. Yeah. She'd done it through the WEC and she'd done it through the UFC. Five of her first six opponents that she fought in the UFC were from the WEC. These are people she'd already fought. Ronda Rousey was the first person to have full-time basis. I mean, she's an Olympic silver medalist at wrestling. Yeah. So she's had the money straight off the bat and the time and the experience to train full-time. Misha Tate's a mum. Kat Zingano's a mum. Kat Zingano was a soldier, sorry. So yeah, her fitness and stuff was there, but she's a soldier. She's not going to have fight experience. She's going to have like real war experience. So when Ronda Rousey was beating these people, everyone's like, ah, she's absolutely unbelievable. Well, no, not really, because one's a full-time mum that's looking after a child and working part-time and still trying to find time to train, and the other one's in the army. So when Holly Holm knocked her out, Holly Holm was probably the first person she fought that didn't have to have a part-time job, that had the time to do full-time wrestling and stuff like that. I mean, she was a professional kickboxer. She's been a three or four division weight world kickboxing champion. I think she's won like something like 12 world titles at kickboxing in four different weight categories. And everyone was like, oh my God, it's such a shock that Holly Holm knocked her out. No, it's not. Everyone is beatable.
Even Khabib.
There will be someone, yeah, that comes along, because unless Khabib retires soon, yeah, I mean, it happened a while ago. I read an interview that Khabib done, and he said if he gets a title, he could potentially retire after winning that title. If he stays undefeated and wins the title in any weight class, whether it be 145, which I can't see him going down to because he struggled to make 155, whether it be 145 or going up a weight, he will retire undefeated because he's got stomach problems, yeah? This is why he struggles to make weight.
Yeah.
So, say if he does fight tomorrow and he wins the title, there potentially could be the chance that Khabib Nurmagomedov retires.
Yeah.
Because he wants that undefeated streak. I mean, there's no one else, apart from John Jones, that could retire undefeated.
Sure.
I know John Jones has got the little mark against his thing, but that should be a no contest anyway. Fucking hell. But people need to realize this. If he thinks, well, I'm not going for all this shit. If Khabib thinks I'm not going for all this shit again, of having my original opponent pull out, then another one pull out, and then on the same day I've had two opponents pull out, he ain't going to do it. It could be too much mental games for him. I mean, if this all happened yesterday and he went to the weigh-in, was overweight, everyone would be like, oh my God, Khabib Nurmagomedov, what, again, everyone called it, he was overweight. It doesn't matter if he's overweight, he ain't got an opponent.
Sure.
Which is playing mind games and stuff on him. All this sort of stuff affects fighters. But yeah, obviously with his coach has said with his stomach problems and stuff as well, he could potentially retire. Because he was going to do it before his last fight when he missed weight. Before he fought Michael Johnson, when he missed the fight that he missed weight on, he was actually considering retirement because of his stomach problems, because he was finding it too hard to cut weight. And I can't really see him going up too much weight because he's not the biggest 155er there.
Anyway, we got a featherweight fight between Renato Moicano versus Calvin Kattar, if you've ever heard of them.
One of them's 11-1, isn't he? I
think so.
Calvin Kattar, I think, is 11-1. Should be a good fight. There's a lot of fights on the undercard as well that could be real, real exciting. The one I'm looking forward to is the Joe Lozon fight. I love Joe Lozon. Absolute UFC veteran. He likes to stand and bang, but my God, that man's jiu-jitsu is on another level.
We have another featherweight fight. Zabit Magomedsharipov against Kyle Bochniak.
Another good fight.
A lightweight fight between Al LaQuinta against Paul Felder.
Yep, Al LaQuinta. I've seen a lot more on this fight, obviously. Al LaQuinta is on a 8 or 9 fight win streak, and he's finished 8 of them. Paul Felder is on a win streak as well. But Al LaQuinta put out a press release. He spoke to, I think it was MMA Junkie this morning, which would have been last night in America, or early hours of this morning, that he's happy that his knees held up during training camp. I mean, this guy doesn't need to fight. He's gone into real estate. He's making shitloads of money into real estate in New York, funnily enough. I think he's from Boston. But yeah, he's in the real estate. So, you know, this guy likes to fight. He's a good fighter. But with him putting out that his knees, he's glad his knees held up. Should he be putting stuff like this out? Like, if that was me and I was going up against him, obviously, I know you have to hurt your opponent and stuff like that, but you don't intentionally go in there to damage someone permanently, yeah? But you use every advantage you can get. So if he's saying his knees are hurting, if I was Paul Felder, I'd be like, well, I'm just going to chop him with leg kicks, see how strong his knees really are.
True.
But I also did see something as well with Paul Felder that he's reluctant to throw elbows. Not sure if this is for medical reasons or because he doesn't want to hurt. Obviously, he wants to hurt his opponent to win the fight, but he doesn't want to cause permanent damage. But he says he's reluctant to throw elbows. I mean, again, I wouldn't be putting this sort of shit out because, you know, if you get him to the ground, he's only going to punch you. And if one of them punches miss, you're dangling limbs about. He's not throwing elbows, so you cannot worry about taking as much damage on the ground.
Yeah. Now we get to the prelims. Carolina Kowal.
Kind of Wozniak or something her name is.
They have a Polish chick.
Yeah.
Against Felice
Herring, yeah. Another good fight, obviously. Carolina, she won five rounds with Joanna Janjacek.
Yeah.
And Felice Herring, she's a bit up and down, but she's sort of, again, she's like Rose Namir. She's something's twitched in her head, and she's got a bit more self belief in herself.
That'll be a women's strawweight fight. We got a lightweight fight between your favorite for this fight,
Joe
Joe
Lowe's on.
Lawson against Chris Grootz
Yep.
and Maka.
Joe Lowe's gonna win that in the second round with a submission, I think.
You want to put a bet on it?
Yeah. I'll go with
10
Joe
quid.
Lowe's on by submission.
You want to put 10
I'll go through my predictions afterwards. You can reel these back off again and I'll go
Yeah.
through my predictions.
All right, cool. Women's flyweight between Beck Rawlings and Ashley Evans Smith.
Yeah, Beck Rawlins again, another fight that's up and down. She struggled with weight cuts in the past and training camps. She prefers fighting in Australia.
Yes, okay.
But yeah, should be another good fight. I could see that going the distance.
But lightweight fight between Evan Dunham and Oliver Aubin-Mercier.
See, there's a lot of these fights, even on the undercard and the main card, that, well, there's not many fights left on the main card, but
You, Connor.
fighters that win these fights changes their whole mentality, because there's so many fighters that are up and down on, especially on a card like this. I mean, the UFC done so much to get the commission in New York. And with whatever thing that's happening, the New York Commission seem to be wanting to fuck things up.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, fighters that are up and down on a card like this, the fan base that they can make and stuff like that, they could change their whole career. Obviously, one
Yeah.
fight can, but I think most of these fights, both fighters need to go out and go for it. Obviously, they're going to go out and go for it, but to themselves, they're going to want it more.
Yeah,
Because
exactly.
they need to get the W before things start going too south for them.
We got one more prelim fight, which is only exclusive to UFC Fight Pass. It's a light heavyweight fight between Devin Clark and Mike Rodriguez.
Again, that's a fight pass fight because obviously these guys are trying to get into the rankings. I don't believe any of them are top 15. I mean, the 205 division is massive at the minute. There's so much going on with it, same as the 145 and the 155 and the 185. It's, well, all divisions really. Fighters pulling out for injury and stuff, but yeah, the 205 division is wide open, obviously, with what's his name, Jimmy Manoa getting beat. UFC London. The guy he fought coming up. Obviously Jimmy Manoa was high on it. Obviously Ovince St. Preux getting knocked out. Daniel Cormier doing a super fight with Stipe Miocic. Still up in the air about John Jones. You got Volkan oh, can't remember Isner, I think his name is. That fought Daniel Cormier for the title. It's so wide open. There's so much talent in all divisions at the minute. But yeah, this is what I'm saying. One win for these fighters, like this is only on Fight Pass in the UK. But if these guys win this fight, they could shoot them up to the top 15. But yeah, it's a stacked card. Even with the fights that they've lost, I still think it's a stacked card and it's not one to miss. This normally happens when you've got so much superstars, so to speak, on an event, and it gets to the point and a few pull out. We've had it before, and everyone thought, ah, it's just going to be a shit card. And it's turned out to be finish after finish after finish after finish, like the London card. I mean, I know I spoke to Brad Scott. I'm actually meeting up with him tomorrow. Hopefully,
Oh.
meet. Yeah, I'm meeting Brad Scott, the UFC fighter, tomorrow. And some of his team. With his fight being cancelled the week of UFC London, and Nad, his teammate, hopefully meeting up with him tomorrow as well. We've got a podcast with him soon, hopefully. With his fight being cancelled on the same day, everyone was looking for these fights because these guys were, they're British fighters, they're English fighters, they were fighting in their own country. And
Yeah.
everyone thought, oh, it's going to be a shit card. Like, they didn't see the main event as too much of a main event, and the whole card just didn't disappoint. It stepped up to it. Like, so kudos to the guys that were on it and girls that were on it. It happens, and we've had it before. Obviously the John Jones fight, the last time, the not the time they've just fought, but the time before John Jones and Daniel Cormier fought. Well, scheduled to fight, sorry, and John Jones was pulled a couple of days of fight week, and everyone thought it was going to be a shit card, and there was finish after finish after finish. It was a stacked card. On paper, it wasn't a very good card, but when it got to it, again, it didn't disappoint. So I'm hoping I've not just jinxed it and it lives up to it. Some of
Yeah.
these are going to be awesome fights, but
I've got some bad news.
Khabib's not fighting. Have you just found out?
No, it's on Twitter. It's different, but it has got to do with UFC 223. I just found it. Just in. Joe Rogan hurt his vocal cord last night while trying to hail a cab in New York City. UFC looking for last minute replacement.
Fuck off. I just cancel the whole event.
Yeah, Joe
Next day we're saying that Bruce Buffer's lost his microphone.
Rogan. So Joe Rogan's lost is hurt his vocal cords, so he can't commentate.
It's his job.
Hello.
Oh my God, I need to check this out. I can't be having this. I can't get a flight there just yet.
Someone tweeted, "Make it free or just cancel the shit show." Oh, that's funny.
All right, hang on a minute. I've got notifications on Twitter. Let me just try and see what they are. Try and see. Sentiment appears to be that Ally Aquinta is emerging as the front runner to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov. The issue is the two extra unclear if it would be for the belt or not. If he had weighed in at 155, it would have been a lot easier. Still developing. That was 3 minutes ago from Ariel Helwani. So now the Pettis fight with Khabib Nurmagomedov is off. Paul Felder is not even in the question, and now Ally Aquinta is in the equation to fight Khabib
Right.
Nurmagomedov. I'm not sure how much time he's got to weigh in, because when he did weigh in, he was 155.4, which is not championship weight. Championship weight, you have to be bang on or a pound under. And obviously, Khabib Nurmagomedov weighed in at 154.5, so he was half a pound under, which was allowed. Ally Aquinta weighed in at 155.4. So at the minute, it looks like they're trying to get Ally Aquinta to drop them 4 ounces. Or if Khabib Nurmagomedov agrees to it, it will be for the title, but Ally Aquinta will lose some of his purse for the title, but they just need the New York State Athletic Commission to sanction it as a title fight.
Fuck it. I saw a tweet that said it made me laugh. Fuck it. Why don't we just put Rose and Habib together? We can put them into an intergender fight.
Pardon, sorry, what was that?
I saw a tweet on Twitter. It was why don't we just put Rose and Habib together? Put an intergender fight and put on one hell of a main event. It's the only worth saving, really.
All right, sorry, I've got another source. This was 2 hours ago.
Dear.
The scale is gone, as in the weighing in scales have gone.
Oh my God. Really?
Habib has made 155 pounds. Holloway is out. Pettis made 155.2. Felder, sorry, made 155 pounds. So he made championship weight. Ally Aquinta made 155.2. And they have zero clarity right now on the main event. Still. But if all else fails, they could end up putting Pettis v Ally Aquinta in there as co-main event and moving Yuan-Yan Jacek and Rose Namajunas up to the main event. I'm just trying to go through my tweets now. Everyone doesn't want the Showtime fight. Everyone doesn't want Showtime to fight Habib. Just hang on a minute. I think they're trying everything they possibly can to get Habib on this card. because they know it's the first time he's made weight in a while. Obviously, against Michael Johnson, it was different. He could be overweight, so he was allowed the extra couple of pounds over. They're allowed that sort of restriction. But obviously, he's made championship weight. It's his first title fight, and he's made weight. They want him on this card. I mean, everyone wants to see Khabib fight.
Anyway, you want to do predictions?
I've just seen it. Ally Quint is ranked number 11. So a ranked number 11 guy is gonna could potentially get a title shot.
We'll work our way up the card, focusing from prelims to main event.
Yeah, do it that way.
Right. So, the fight pass prelim, Devin Clark versus Mike Rodriguez.
I'll go Devin Clark.
Yeah.
By knockout, yeah. I'm not sure what round, but I'll go Devin Clark by knockout.
Yeah, I'll have to say the same. The lightweight fight between Evan Dunham and Olivier Ubin Messier.
I'm going to go Evan Dunham. Decision.
Okay. The women's flyweight between Beck Rawlings and Ashley Evans-Smith.
Oh, see, this is a tough one. It's going to go to a decision. I'll go Beck Rawlings.
Okay. So I know who you're going to pick for this one. The lightweight fight between Joe Laws and against Chris.
Got to. Joe Laws won by submission in round two. I'll be precise with that one. I think Joe Lozon's got this one.
Take 10 quid.
I'm going to put some money on these anyway, so you mark them down and then send me them.
Or each one going to be 10 quid, right? All right. The women's strawweight fight between Carolina.
Yeah, I'll go Carolina. I'm going to take my punt on round one knockout.
Ooh. So far, it's just it's been all the fighters that's been mentioned first for you. we're on the main card between it's a lightweight fight between Ali Quinta and Paul Felder.
See, this one's up in the air. I'll go like Ali Quinta by finish, by TKO. This could go either way. This is one of them fights where it's one punch and it's done.
Yeah.
It's either way. It's whoever connects first, basically, it's game over.
The featherweight fight between Zabit Magomedov against Kyle Bochniak.
See, this is going to be a technical one. I'll go Kyle by decision.
First time that's been a fight that's been mentioned second by you. Featherweight fight between Renato Mocana against Calvin Kattar. I think I know who you'll pick.
Yeah, I'll go Calvin Kattar.
I thought you'd pick that. Yeah,
I'm not going to predict how, but I'll go with Calvin Kattar.
And we've got the potential main event, Rose Namajunas against
Joanna Jędrzejczyk. See, I'm going to go with what Rose says. I'm going to go with Rose Namajunas to Samir. Rose wants to choke her out.
Good.
And I think it could be very, very interesting. Like, Joanna doesn't want to go take this to the ground. And Rose is a stronger fighter on the ground. But Rose obviously has proven that she can stand up and she can bang. I think that head kick again is going to come into play, and she's going to take it down. But if she lands that head kick and gets her there, Joanna could be going to sleep.
Any of the potential Khabib fights, if it is going to be called on, who you got?
Of course, you got to go with Khabib.
Oh yeah,
definitely. If he fights Ally Aquinta, well, then that's a different story because Ally Aquinta's got the punching power to finish him. And obviously, it's debatable whether Michael Johnson rocked Khabib or not. He sort of stumbled a little bit. It could have been anything from footing or anything like that. But needless to say, it's all it takes. But Michael Johnson is a lengthier fighter than Ally Aquinta. He's got that reach over Ally Aquinta. So Ally Aquinta is going to have to get into Khabib's space if it is Ally Aquinta. Which obviously could mean takedowns. I mean, Khabib's no stranger to boxing. Don't get that twisted. Khabib could knock people out. I mean, look what he did to Michael Johnson. He beat him up. But if it goes to the ground, yeah, I'm going to go with Ally Aquinta going to sleep.
Okay, I just saw a tweet, by the way, from a fighter who's not in UFC. He's not in the big leagues. He's like in the smaller MMA companies.
Give him a shout out anyway.
I just skipped past it, literally, 'cause the tweet, the social media is going all mad and all that.
Yeah.
But yeah, he has an undefeated record so far.
All right.
I think 10 and 0, I think. And he's like, he said, he tweeted at Dana White saying, "Yo, put me on the card. I'll put my streak on the line. I don't care."
Well, actually, the event I'm going to tomorrow for the BCMMA in the UK, Cage Warriors Academy, there's a guy in there, Ashley Kilbinton. He's 7-0, 8-0 currently. It's three fights in one night. And there's another guy on there that's got an eight fight win streak. He's had 14 fights and five losses or something like that. But his win streak is better than most people's experience going into the tournament.
Hang on. I think I'm getting close to his name. I'll see if I can find it.
Brian Keller, who is actually a UFC fighter. The UFC stands for the Ultimate Fucked Championship. Kevin Lee's tweeted as well an hour ago. They should have called me to start with. I've been wanting Team Khabib for years. I'll focus on April 21st. I've got work to put in.
Someone tweeted, "New challenger for the main event is The Undertaker." Fun fact, Undertaker is actually an MMA fan, so that could work.
I've just seen it. Someone from Khabib's team several hours ago, a member of Khabib's entourage, posted this picture, and it's about 40 guys standing around Khabib with the caption, "Has anyone seen the Irish?" I'm trying to see if I've got anything that's happening.
I found a guy. His name is Sean, but his Twitter handle is Shawnee Hoodrat. He said, "Dana White, I'll fly to New York right now to fight to fight Khabib. I have zero losses in MMA, and zero has to go. It will 100% be my zero, but I'm willing to give up my perfect record so Khabib can have his title fight."
Fair play to the guy. Retweet him and tell him we're giving him a shout out. I've just seen a picture. Conor McGregor is being escorted to the UFC weigh-ins, where he'll be forced to make weight and fight Khabib to save UFC 223. And it's a picture of him being escorted out of the courthouse in handcuffs.
Yeah. You're getting shouted out.
Just say to him, "You've just won the internet."
Yeah. As we can tell, this team, I am the social media guy for this group, for the duo.
New York requires refunds to be made available if the main event changes with less than 48 hours notice. UFC 223 ticket holders, be aware. Well, guess what? The UFC are now going to sue Conor McGregor.
Oh dear.
So good job he's got a few projects in the pipeline. Right. So we'll leave that there.
Right. Tweet that him.
Let's hope we get some sort of fucking closure on this. within the next couple of hours.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah,
Twitter doesn't like to mess around, does it?
Hopefully we get some closure on the main event. So have a good 2-2-3. I'll
see
speak
you
to
all.
You soon. Go follow us
See
on
you
Twitter.
all.
Mine's at Monstars10. Check the podcast out on iTunes,
Mine's
Monstars10 MMA Podcast, and on Anchor.
Check me on Twitter at Gaming Film Geek. Give me a follow if you want. I don't care.
Right. I'll hopefully do a podcast on Sunday, maybe with a few guests. I'm speaking to a few guys over the weekend. So stay tuned and let's get this popping. Have fun.
See you later.